Well, our prayer and desire is that God would be in this place this morning. Without the presence of God, we really are wasting time. But with the presence of God, we can go away from here this morning encouraged and challenged and strengthened. And that's my prayer. The title of the message this morning is, But God. Mm-hmm. It's two words. And if you don't remember anything else from the message this morning, I'd like you to remember this conjunction, but, and then God, but God. So as you face your trials and your sicknesses and your griefs and your heartache and you face your temptations and you face your people problems and you face the spiritual battles, I would that we remember, but God. September 24th, 8 years ago, 2013, I'm trying to get through this without crying, so we got a knock on the door. It was a day as any other day, and Renee and I were, I think, in the kitchen at the time, and someone knocked at the door, and it's like, wonder who that is. Didn't expect anybody, and it was the local police department. They said, can we come in? And when the police come to your door and ask to come in, you know that something's not right. We knew we hadn't done anything. They said, your son has drowned. And we said, is he alive? And they said, we have no information. They said, you need to try to get hold of the hospital in Tulsa. They said, your son drowned and he's been medflighted to Tulsa. And we did not know whether he was alive or dead. I would that parents never get that kind of knock on the door. But they do. I think Brother Randy happened to his driver this week is an example of that. He had been out duck hunting with some friends and had shot a duck, and they were outside of Stillwater, and he had waders on and he stepped out in the water to go get the duck, and he went under and he never came back up. And there must have been a hole or something, and he was not able to get up. And his friends tried to get him out after a while, and they said it took at least 5 minutes to get him out of the water because they kept dropping him and trying to get him out. He was without breath. He did not breathe for over 5 minutes. They did CPR on him for another 10 minutes until he started breathing. He was never conscious. He never came to consciousness. When they called 911, the ambulance could not find them for 45 minutes because they were out in the boonies somewhere. And the ambulance could not find them. And in all that time, he remained unconscious. By the time they got there and they called for a helicopter to come get him, he was in cardiac arrest. And I remember the drive a little bit from Nixa to Tulsa. We got hold of him in the ER, and they couldn't give us any information. So we did not know if Devin was going to be alive by the time we got to the hospital or not. Things looked very bleak on multiple levels. Brother Curtis, we had called, and Brother Curtis was the first person to be able to get there. And he went in, and those of you that I know, he told it here when he was here one time, but he said that he was there and it looked like almost that they had given up on him. He was laying there, looked like they'd given up, so he was just praying for God to spare his life. He said all of a sudden his leg twitched. Well, saints came in, remember being there at the hospital, and I will need a Kleenex. Saints started coming in. I know there were some that came in and said, we don't know there's anything to do. I hope it's okay. We're here. But it was just there. Thank you. It was just the presence of God's people. There's nothing you could do but pray. But they were there. And when they began to take Devin, finally, they were going to take him off of the breathing tube and the life support. They did not know. We did not know if there would be any brain function left. Didn't know if he would be able to have quality of life. I mean, by all natural facts, he would be basically brain dead and not able to function. They started taking him off, and he began to fight. I remember walking through the hospital. It was like, Lord, obviously we wanted God to spare his life. But the question was, if he doesn't have brain function, Lord, what's going to happen? Because he was fighting it as they slowly started to take him off and bring him out. No idea of his mental capacity. Those of you that know the rest of the story is that Devin was able the next semester to go back to school at OSU. Graduated with his degree in engineering. He was still able to walk into some of the, and I'm saying this for a point, not to, he was still able to walk into those hard engineering classes and take a test and be the first one to walk out. How did that happen? Because all the facts, all the circumstances, all the situations said, there's no way. But God. Whatever touches our lives this morning, but God. Because see, but is a conjunction and it means except. Except for the fact. You know, these are all the circumstances, but. And so whenever someone adds a but on the end of their sentence, you know there's going to be an exception or there's going to be something else that you've got to take into consideration. So we can look at all of our situations this morning. We can look at our unsaved loved ones and say they're too far gone. But God. But God, we can look at financial situations, we can look at physical situations and say it's impossible, but God, God changes things. God has the power this morning to change the natural course of things. And that's what God did with Devin. We can look at the facts this morning and say it's impossible, it is, but God. With man, it's impossible, but not with God. One of the sheriffs had to come up and he wanted to see the miracle. Because of God, it was the only way that you could go for 15 minutes. And even if they were wrong on their time, because I know things get drawn out sometimes. But you won't have brain function after so many minutes. But God. God, let's not leave God out of the mix of our lives this morning. The things that look impossible right now. You see, God is not bound by statistics. He's not limited by the natural order of things. He's not confined by the ability or the weaknesses of man. We serve a Creator this morning in whom all things are possible. And I believe that all things are possible with God. There are over 44 verses in the Bible that say, but God. Now, we're not going to read all 44 this morning. But God. But God. I want to introduce that thought, and I don't want to forget it in my vocabulary, but most of all, in my perspective of the things that we face. Let's not forget, but God. Jesus was crucified in Acts chapter 13. Jesus was crucified. He was in the grave. He had been put in the tomb. And as you know, hope was gone. Hope was gone. But in Acts 13, verse 30, it says, but God raised him from the dead. Death does not have power. God has power over death even. There was and there still is today a power that is greater than death, and that is God. Mm-hmm. So no matter what the situations are that would cause us to be discouraged, that would cause us to lose hope, that would cause us to almost wonder, is there any value to even praying or looking for something more than what the circumstances dictate are going to happen? Yes, it's still worthy to pray and it's still worthy to come to God because God is still on His throne this morning. God is still working. I'm thankful for the inspirational stories that I can read about in the Bible. I'm thankful for the inspirational stories I can read about 140 years ago, but I am thankful this morning, but God is still working in this generation of time. If it had not been but God, I would not be here this morning. I would not be saved this morning. I would not have been able to stay saved this morning. I would not be able to walk this morning, but God. Amen. But God. Do you realize I wouldn't be alive today, but God. Is not that the same for all of us in our life? I may share a couple instances, but I know that you have your stories as well. And it's all because of, but God, this is the way it was going, but God. So let's not lose hope this morning. I know that with our fasting and prayer last Thursday, the needs are almost overwhelming sometimes. And it's not even as much to me the physical needs, because if someone is saved and they die, that's what I'm working for. So if I die, you all just remember this, if and when, and I know it's going to happen, but when I die, it's not if, it's when. When I die, just remember, that's what I've given my life for. I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be wonderful. Not the process, but the death, you know, being dead and going to be with the Lord. That's what's going to be wonderful. But, you know, it's the spiritual needs. It's those that aren't ready to meet God. It's those that are spiritually hurting and don't have the hope and the comfort and the assurance that we have. But let's not give up hope for them, but God. You say they're no interest, but God. They're too far from God, but God can talk to them. God can reach them where you cannot reach them. God can work, and I've seen it with those that have been close to us where God was able to work and put people in their lives and work by His Holy Spirit in ways that we could not do. And it was because of but God. He was faithful. God raised Jesus from the dead. Do you remember over in Mark, actually, in the fifth chapter, when Jairus came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's sick, nigh to death. And you know, Lord, come and heal her. I want you to come and speak." And Jesus went on and did some other things. He didn't get there right away. And then the Jairus' servants came and said, or some of them came and said, "Don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. It's too late. It's too late." Any of you all ever have any things you put some limits on God? Said, "Lord, you've got to the end of this week." Somehow I found God's time schedule is just not ours. It seemed like He was flat out too late. But I want you to know something. God's not too late. Sometimes He gets greater glory when we think He was too late. They said, "Don't bother Him now. Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest the master any further?" And when Jesus heard what they were saying, He said to the ruler, He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And Jesus raised that little girl from death. Mm-hmm. But God. She's dead now. It's too far gone, but God. Talking about over in Philippians, and I'll just, in Philippians in the second chapter in the 25th verse, there was a man that was nigh to death, but God had mercy on him. But God. He was nigh to death, but God had mercy on him. And Paul was saying, "And not on him only, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." In other words, Paul's saying, "I couldn't really handle it right now. But God had mercy. He raised him from death's door, and He had mercy on me." I remember a man that we had gone to visit in Pakistan, and he had not been able to work for many months. He was not able to get out of bed. It was liver disease and problems, and we went, and I remember we anointed and prayed for him. Called back later and said, "What happened to him?" They said, "After you left, he was able to get up. He was able to get up out of bed, and he was able to walk, and he was able to do. It wasn't anything I'd done, but God." Yeah. Do you realize God did what medicine could not do? I told you I would not be walking this morning, but God. Some of you young ones may not even remember. The Lord left just enough with me to remember. He left enough with me. Jacob had a limp the rest of his life to remind him of when he met with God. God left me with a limp. Figuratively speaking, sometimes literal. But do you realize that God did something? That there were times I walked with a cane for a few years. There were times I was in the wheelchair. The neurologist told me, he said, you could end up a paraplegic if you don't have surgery, if you don't have this done. Well, in the eyes of man, that might have been the case. But God still works. He still works. He still is moved. Circumstances, when the enemy has designs even. Remember Joseph, and you can read it in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But remember Joseph, his brother sold him into slavery. Joseph was, he was rejected by his family. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was thrown into prison. He was forgotten. He went through all of these horrible things. But God, because when his brothers came back later after Joseph was their second to no other except for Pharaoh himself in Egypt, Genesis 50 verse 20, he was speaking to his brothers and he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." In other words, the enemy was working through you, but God. Yes. Thank the Lord. "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." And over in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, something very similar. It says the patriarchs, this is Acts 7, verse 9, "The patriarchs were moved with envy. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Go through tough times, but God was with him. Has not he done that for you this morning? I look back on my life, and you can look back on yours and say, yes, it was a tough time, but God. I remember some really dark nights, but God was there. Remember when it looked bleak, but God. Remember some of the burdens for unsaved loved ones, but God. I remember when there are so many different burdens that people have had, and some of those you can't talk about, but God. God came through and he worked and he was faithful. He's not limited this morning. Lord, help us to get a hold of that. He's not limited. Whatever the challenges that you have or that your loved ones have, but God. And he's going to come through when it's the right time. The prodigal son, lost, lonely, addicted to sin, forsaken. And you say he's too far gone. But God, the Holy Spirit went and dealt with him in that lost condition when his father was not there. There was no one else, but in his loneliness and in his brokenness, Jesus or the Holy Spirit came and began to bring back to his mind. And he was found, the one that had been lost. Never minimize the power of God when you pray for your lost loved ones this morning. The Lord loves your lost loved ones more than you do yourself. Those that are parents and grandparents, God loves your children more than you do. And sometimes it seems like I don't know what to do. But God, he knows, and he's going to work. And he's still working today. And when the devil comes along with the challenges that all of us face in life, and he says there's no use to go on. I mean, look at the facts. See, I'm a person of facts. I like facts. I like facts. And I like you look at this and this and this. And someone says, well, but let's talk about facts. Okay? Above feelings. A, B, and C. My degree's in math. Yes, I like to think that way. But you know what? There's something you can't leave out of the equation. If you want to look at life mathematically and analytically, and it is but God. It's but God. When the devil says it's no use, you young folks, when the devil comes along and your struggles and says, you know what, it's no use, I want you to remember this. The devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. He's doing so much to try to discourage God's people. It's all around. You all know that. There are so many burdens and problems and struggles it seems like God's people are having. But our hope is bright this morning. Yeah, isn't it?
That's true.
It's not because of the circumstances. It's because of God. But God, devil's a liar this morning. Mm-hmm. When the disciples came back from... Jesus had sent the disciples out in Luke 10. It's one of my favorite passages. But in Luke chapter 10, the disciples came back rejoicing, and they said, "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." You remember what Jesus told me? He said, "Rejoice not in this, that the devils are subject unto your name, but rejoice rather," why? "Because your names are written in heaven." Your names are written in heaven. If you don't see the visible, if you don't see the lame walking, even if I was in a wheelchair this morning, even if there were situations that you faced and said, "Lord, you didn't answer," the greatest miracle is that we have been transformed from death unto spiritual life. My name is written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven if you're saved this morning. That's the greatest thing to rejoice about. But even when with the devils being cast out, you see, God is not limited. And I know I've shared before, but in Pakistan, we experienced that just like reading. It was like reading chapter after chapter after the Bible. When God chose to come on the scene like I've never seen Him do before, and I've never seen Him do it that exactly that way since. But so many people came to that meeting in a Muslim country, many of them not believing in Jesus, the Son of God. Many were devil-possessed. There were people having seizures and people that were unconscious being drugged up to where we were. Every single one of them walked off that platform giving God praise. And you say, "Well, that just was in the old times." No, God still has power to deliver the devil possessed this morning. He still has power to take those that could not walk and they were out of their mind, and family brought them up and they went off praising God. There were little children that came up that were out of their minds and foam and just out of control. And through the power of God, they calmed down and the Lord did something for them. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but God came on the scene and He worked a miracle in their lives. But God, we look at impossible situations. No, not with God. Thank the Lord. In temptation this morning, I know there are times that people go through temptation that, and I'll just say it because I know a lot, especially young people, get there. It's like, "I am so tired of the devil. I am just so tired. I'm so worn out. The devil will not leave me alone. I'm just worn out. I'm fighting day after day after day." And the temptation is to just give in to defeat. But you know what? The scripture still says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now someone help me with the next part. "But God." It's "but God." There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Okay, those are the facts. We all have it. But God. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." No matter how hard the temptation, no matter how long you have been battling, when someone says, "I'm really fighting and I'm so tired and I'm so tired of fighting," it's like, thank God, because you're still fighting. Mm-hmm. Be encouraged this morning. You may feel like, "I don't have the victory like I should have. I'm still fighting." I'd say, "Well, that's wonderful then. Just keep fighting, because it means you haven't given up." Right. You wait and keep pressing, even if you feel like you're not quite having the ultimate victory like you want to have, because God is going to come through and you're going to find a place of deliverance. You're going to find a place of victory even in your temptation. When the battles and the struggles seem so hard and your heart is overwhelmed, as God told them at Jehoshaphat, He said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Mm-hmm. Whose battle is it this morning? It's not yours. The battle's not yours, but God's. That gives me courage when I'm overwhelmed. when I'm said there's, I don't see any way out. I don't know what to do, and you feel the pressure just pushing you down. But the battle's God's. Battle's not yours, but it's God's. When you have no strength, David said in Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth. Those are the facts. But God is the strength of my heart. But God is the strength of my heart. I've been there, have you? I've been there when I did not have the will to hardly push anymore. But God was the strength of my heart. And He enabled me to rise above myself. He enabled me to rise above my purpose and desire and weakness. And He was the one that enabled me to go forward and face another day. And He will do that for you. And we say, well, it all sounds real good. Before we conclude this morning, I do want to share another story. And I could share a number of them just like you all could. But I, as the Lord was talking to me about this, I remembered a time, and there have been times that I was on my sick bed with malaria, and it looked like it was to the place I would not live. But God. But I remembered a time in 2012, and I don't even know if I told you all this. In 2012, I was leaving Malawi, and I was in Malawi on a local flight to South Africa, actually. I was going from Malawi, and I got on the plane, and something happened in my body. And I don't know what was going on. And I must have passed out on the plane. And I came to with someone bent over me, with one of the stewardesses bent over me. The lady sitting beside me must have called. And, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was passed out in the plane. And I didn't hardly have the strength. I did not want them to call an ambulance in Africa and go. And I got off the plane, and I did not know what was wrong. Something was very wrong in my body. But God. You know, God did something for me between then and when I had to get on my next flight to come home. God gave strength, and whatever it was, I went home, and I made it home, and I was fine. I don't know what it was, but God. Isn't the Lord good to us this morning? And I'm not worthy this morning, are you? I'm not worthy. I don't deserve any of the blessings that God has given to me. And you know what? None of us do. And sometimes we may look, and sometimes it seems like the enemy's really working to cause people to be discouraged with themselves. Have you noticed that? The enemy's working so hard to make people feel like I'm not worthy, and I don't deserve this. And why would God help me? Because it sounds real good this morning, but God, you know, tack that on into the end of all your facts. But maybe for you, but I'm just not worthy. Well, I want to give you another scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, But God commendeth. What did He commend? He commended His love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is for all of us this morning. When we didn't deserve it, and we don't deserve it, and we were unworthy, and maybe you've made a mess spiritually, but it was in that place that it says, but God committed His love toward us. You are loved this morning. So in all your facts and your burdens and your trials and your problems, it's all right to recognize the facts. It's all right to recognize the circumstances. But I'd like you to put a little conjunction on it then. But God, because God is still working this morning. May the Lord bless each one of you. Let's be encouraged this morning. Let's pray for one another. But the source of our strength is God. And I am so thankful I can rest in but God. Amen. Amen.